Welcome into the VIP iPhone Jesus group for May 22nd, 2024. I don't have it queued up, and I should have, but I do have a little tip to play. So let me go ahead and queue that up. It said failed to stream. Let me try it one more time. There's Hank. Welcome in, Hank. I'm just about to play the file that I played earlier. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
By the way, Cheryl, the recording's in your email.
Good afternoon, Hank.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I really appreciate that. Okay, here is the tip of the day.
Single finger, triple tap. The single finger triple tap can be extremely useful. For example, without opening the app, performing a single finger triple tap will allow you quick access to multiple functions. Using the phone app, for example, the first option is remove app. You can edit the home screen, and here we get into the useful stuff. View most recent voicemail. Other choices include create new contact, search for contact, and view most recent call. Another example is Facebook. Using a three-finger triple tap without opening the app presents you with the following options. Create post, create story, create wheel, and go live, then edit home screen share app and remove app. So depending on the app, there are different functions available. Another example is the App Store. A single-finger triple tap will present you with these options. Search, redeem, updates, purchased. Then the ever-present edit home screen and remove app. Spend some time using the single finger triple tap and see which apps offers you quick access to the more commonly used functions.
Were any of you familiar with the single finger triple tap gesture?
Not really. I've done, you know, the double finger double tap and the triple finger triple tap, I mean, but not the single finger one.
I wasn't aware that there was a single finger triple tap. Is that available automatically? It's by default, or do you have to actually go in and turn it on the apps?
No, it's by default. Hank is the one that actually pointed it out to me, and I've been using it ever since. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to share that information.
Oh, it's a good. I'm real happy to have know about it. In fact, I'm going to start playing with it.
Me too. Could I have that file?
I forgot I have sound events off. Yeah, I use it a lot with the App Store, which is one of the examples in the audio clips you just played. So when you triple tap on the App Store, one of the choices is updates. Like I normally do my updates on my own. I don't have it automatic. Because normally you have to double tap on the App Store. It brings you to the main page. Usually at the bottom. It used to put you at the top. Then you got to go all the way to the top and try to find my account, which is top right somewhere. Double tap on that, then go to the bottom to get to the where the updates are. With the triple finger single tap, single finger triple tap. Oops, I got to change my nickname. You triple tap, you swipe right to updates. Double tap on that, you're already in the update screen. So you just go to the bottom and start swiping to the right. To where it says update all or you know, and that stuff. Let me change my nickname.
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time. Really great way of doing stuff.
That was where I was thinking that would, you know, in the App Store was where it would really save you time. Because you're right, otherwise there's a lot of flicking around in there.
Yeah, usually what I have to do, I go down on the bottom, find the search tab, and double tap that, and I go up top, and then I find where you put the search in, and then start swiping there, and I get to it a little bit faster. But boy, I like this idea a lot better.
I know you don't even have to go into the app; you just sit on it, and then single finger triple tap, and the first option you see is search. So double tap there, and you're already there. It's awesome. And depending on what app you're looking at, there are different things available. Some of them don't offer any useful items, and some do. So just have to play with it and find out which apps offer you what items. And the single finger triple tap can also be used within an app. For example, if you took a picture and Be My Eyes described the picture and you want to share the description, a single finger triple tap will bring up the menu to copy description. So anywhere, what is that, double tap and hold, anywhere that is in place, the single finger triple tap will also do.
So like if you want to select text or something like that?
I'm not sure it will work for select because you have to, if you want to select text, well, in the Be My Eyes case, it will copy the description to the clipboard and you can paste it elsewhere, you know, wherever you like. But if you want to copy text, I would think that you would use your rotor and go to text selection. And then, you know, select the text that way and then copy it.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that in the rotor. I don't think it's in my rotor selections.
Usually if you're in an edit field or say, for example, an email and you want to copy a specific item, for example, this is what I use it for. I'll go into the email and the book club selections are there. So I will word by word go to the DB and book number, and then I'll rotor to text edit and then flick up to where it says word and then flick right and it'll copy the DB number, and then I'll flick rotor left to edit and then flick up to copy, and that's how I do that.
Mar, you are aware, right, that you can add stuff to your rotor if it's not in there by, you know, going into accessibility and going to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know when I had a app that didn't work, the Apple people had me add screen recognition in there. That was the first I heard that you could do that, but that was, I don't know, 6 months to a year ago.
I always have trouble adding something to the rotor because when you go into VoiceOver, into settings, and you go to the rotor features and you select it, it doesn't automatically put it in your rotor. So how do you know once you've selected, how do you know it's in there?
Aren't there toggles for those things, or am I wrong about that?
It should put it in your rotor. I haven't done it in quite a while. But as you go through the list, if it says selected, it's in the rotor. If it doesn't say selected, it's not in the rotor. So you just have to double tap on it. It'll hear it say selected, and it should be there.
Well, I've done that, and then I've used the rotor. So would you have to get out of that and then see if it's in the rotor, or can you test it out by staying in there and seeing if it's in the rotor?
I would think you could do it right there, but you could also just go to the home screen real quick and check it, and then you can just go to the app switcher and go right back to settings to get back in there.
Yeah, I've had to do that a few times. I was hoping there was a quick way to do it, but evidently not, huh?
Wait a minute. I think I know what might be happening. Some of the things in the rotor only show up if whatever you're focused on supports it, I guess. Okay, like say links is one of the options. If you're in settings, there's no links there, so that won't show in the rotor. But if you open up Safari or something, then you'll see links or lines or actions. If there's no actions to be had, you won't even see actions in the rotor. But if you go to another app, then it'll be there.
I have noticed that because for a long time, and it took me way too long to figure this out, if somebody sends you a link via message and you go in there, you can double tap all day long and you're not going to get anywhere with it. But until you rotor to that links and then double tap, then it will launch. And oh boy.
Yeah, that's the same thing that happens like when you're in a text, a body with just text, and you want to read by word, you want to read by character or line. I have to make sure that I touch the screen where the text is, and then I can turn the rotor to if I want it to read line by line or word by word or whatever.
Yeah, that touching the screen is key, I think. That's a good point, to touching the screen, to focus in on what you're wanting the rotor to do. So that's a very good point. All right, well, we have a small group here today, so we can, you know, we're going to open the possibility to anything. So has anybody got anything they want to talk about iPhone related?
How do you block a number? I get this call every week, and it does read me the number. Do I have to know it to go in there and tell it to block it? Or as the phone is ringing, can I hit something to block it? How do you do that?
Okay, you go into your phone app under Recents, you look for the number, and you flick up to More Info, go into there, double tap that, and then you flick down, and one of the options will be Block Caller.
And it will give you a warning when you do that. It'll say you won't receive any messages from this number. You know, are you sure you want to block it? And then you do it again and just tap block and bye-bye.
So the person calling from that number, what do they get when they call it and I have it blocked? Does it go to my voicemail, or do they just, it doesn't answer for them or do anything for them?
I don't know. I was kind of curious that myself. I think I'll block Parker. We'll find out.
It doesn't do anything. It just like it. Just kind of like it was, I got a wrong number. It just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. I'm wondering if the person that you are calling is no longer accepting calls from this number. Hey, Becky, welcome in.
Oh, I forgot.
I sent you a text message, but I don't know if it went to the right place.
Yeah, it must have been on my other phone. It's in the bedroom, but thank you anyway.
Well, to bring you up to date, we were talking about the single finger triple tap and the many uses for it. For example, you can sit on an app without actually opening it and do a single finger triple tap and have options available to you without even going inside the app.
Going back to that blocking a call for a minute, the one thing you want to remember is if it's a telemarketer, you may block that one number, but they may have a half a dozen calls, or half a dozen numbers, rather. So you may have to block them several times before you get them stopped.
I get this one number every day. I mean, every day I get this 833 number that's calling, and it's the same thing. It's some kind of recall thing. And it's like, okay, I got the message. Stop calling, but it's an everyday thing.
Huh. I get an 833 number, but it's wanting me to take out a credit card. And I've not blocked it because for the same reason Parker said, I know they just go to another number.
I got an 833, but it's from a notification system that our mobile home park puts out for temporary water shut off and stuff like that, but it's an 833 number.
I said that, Becky. However, I am persistent. I just keep blocking them until I don't get it anymore. After all, they can only have a limited amount of numbers because they have to pay for them.
Well, that can be an all-day project, blocking all those numbers.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it's worth it. I've got it down to where I probably don't get more than two or three telemarketer calls a week anymore now.
Gives that old guy something to do in his spare time.
I'll have to give it a try. I'll try blocking this 1-833 number and see what happens.
I hardly get any telemarketing calls.
Look at it this way, Borden. It keeps me from annoying you.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Before I signed up with AT&T for phone service, I wasn't getting hardly any. And now all of a sudden I'm getting all these calls. And I'm wondering, did they sell my information?
I often hear of you folks having all kinds of extra calls. I get about 2 to 3 a week.
Yeah, there is an app for AT&T that you could download to help with that. I used to have that when I was on the TNT. I used to use it.
It could be coincidence, too, because I remember listening to people saying they would get, you know, a bunch of calls all day long, every day. And I'm, like, knocking on wood over here saying, I'm glad that's not happening to me. And a few months later, guess what? I started getting a whole bunch of phone calls. All hang-ups, or you pick up, there's nobody there. They leave a voicemail. It's either 5 seconds or 52 seconds, like all of them. It's not even 30 and a minute and a half. Nope. 5-6 seconds or 52 seconds. I think what they're looking to find if your phone is valid so you can start getting telemarketing. I don't know. It stopped for a while. Now it's kind of picked up a little bit, but not as bad as it was before.
Yeah, wish I could remember the name of that service that AT&T had, because I still have it on my phone. I'd like to remove it, but I don't know the name of it. I don't want to remove the wrong thing. But since I've been on since I've been on T-Mobile, I hardly ever get any spam calls.
Okay, Andy, I think it was Andy that said it. Andy's right. They have an app. The app now is called Active Armor, and it used to be called Call Protect. That was the name of the old app, Terry. But it's now called Active Armor, and it will block a majority of your spam calls.
Yeah, that's right. That does sound familiar.
Do you have to log into it with an AT&T username password? Because they messed that all up for me.
You know what, Cheryl? It's been so long. I've had that for so long. I don't remember if you have to or not. I don't recall. You might. I don't want to say because I just spent too long. I've had it forever.
I don't think I had to do that. I may have had to get a text or something. I'm not sure. It's been so long ago, but it did work. It was good.
Well, that's good information. I'll have to look into that.
Well, I've never heard of that one finger triple tap. That's interesting. I'll have to try to remember that one.
Well, one example that we used, Becky, was say you're wanting to look for an app. You just go to where your app store app is located. Don't open it, but do a single finger triple tap. The first thing that comes up is the search box, a search button. You double tap there and you're in the search box without having to go through all the gyrations inside the app to get to it.
Yeah, that's good. Lately, I have missed some phone calls simply because my volume on my Ringer was way down, and I'll go in there and set it up to really 100%. What happens or what I do that lowers it, but one time I checked and it said 7%, and I thought, oh, how did that happen?
Ah, famous question. I've dealt with this one a lot. What you do where you go in, change your volume, Ringer volume to 100%, and then to the right of that, I believe, there's a toggle button that says change with buttons or something along those lines. You want that off. What that is you can adjust the volume with the button. So if you turn down VoiceOver for some reason, you're turning down the Ringer. So now this way, if you turn that button off, the Ringer will not change with the volume buttons. You have to go into the settings to change the volume of the Ringer.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion, Becky, because that if you happen to pick up your phone and with your finger on the down volume button while it's ringing, if you've got that turned on, it will automatically turn your volume down, and that's probably what's happening.
Excellent suggestion. Thank you so much.
Good on you, Hank. Yep, I was going to say that similar to that. I think I turned mine off quite a long time ago because I was having the same problem. Does anybody know how to turn the volume of VoiceOver up?
Three finger, triple tap.
Well, to say your VoiceOver volume is real low, and your volume key doesn't seem to be raised in the VoiceOver. So while VoiceOver is actually speaking, you use the volume up button. And as you push the volume up button, as VoiceOver speaking, it will raise the volume of VoiceOver.
Now, does it just raise that, or does it raise the volume of the whole unit?
Just VoiceOver.
Yeah, that's how I do it. If I want to either raise or lower it, I just keep swiping, keep hitting up or down volume. Works fine.
That being said, that brings me to another tip I like to tell people. Is the Siri voice, you know, because they think it's the same thing. But no, the VoiceOver voice and the Siri voice are separate from each other. So they have different volumes. Have you ever been using VoiceOver? You ask Siri something, she's yelling at you, or you could barely hear her. So just ask her anything, you know, like say the weather. When she starts talking, then just as Cheryl suggested or said, you use the volume buttons and then you turn it up and down to what volume you want it. You know, if you want it to match like what VoiceOver volume is or whatever.
You know, that's really good. I never even thought about doing that with Siri. But yeah, it seems to make sense that it would work the same way.
Yeah, that's the way I do it too. Yeah, it does. It works great.
The other thing that I just wanted to mention, because it's happened to me a few times, where I've accidentally bumped the, what do you call that? You know, the thing that puts it on vibrate, that little toggle switch. I've accidentally bumped that, not realized it. And all of a sudden, I discover it and turn it back on and realize that I've gotten a whole bunch of messages. And so sometimes if your phone isn't ringing or isn't blipping or beeping or whatever it's supposed to do, check that and make sure it's flipped, you know, the right way.
It'd be flipped toward you, would be where you'd want it, I do believe.
Yeah, if it's pointed toward the screen, it's on, and I mean it's not muted. If it's pointed toward the back of your phone, then it is muted. But that's a good suggestion. So I was gonna say something else along that same line, it went right out of my head.
Well, I got a question. I don't know. Maybe I've mentioned it before, but it might be in my imagination, but at one time it seemed like when I'd get my phone would ding, the message would come in, it would say the person's name. And mine will not do that anymore. I just get the ding or whatever sound I have it set for. Is there any way to make it announce the name?
They have changed the message app so much. I'm not really sure. Mine, I get the notification that I got a message, but I don't get, it doesn't talk. And even though I've got it all set up, you know, banners, badges, and whatever it is that you're supposed to turn announce and all that, it still doesn't work. So if anybody finds out the answer to Terry's question, let me know too.
That's interesting, because I thought I had the answer, but I know you never lock your phone. Yours is always on, right, Cheryl? Because sometimes what it can be, because I normally do keep my phone locked, in privacy, it's been a while since I've done that, under notifications, I believe, you could set it to show on lock screen. Because if you have that off, what again, privacy is, you know, if you don't want people seeing, or for us, hearing who's calling you, who sent you a text message. So you have to unlock the phone in order to see it.
Yeah, mine, I can get them for Facebook messages or the stupid time and stuff like that. It'll tell me that, you know, such and such sent a message, and sometimes I'll read just a little bit of it. But it will not do it with the messages. It's weird. I'll check that out, but I usually have mine locked most of the time, because it's surprising how much it saves on the battery.
You know, I'm wondering if Hank has on to something, if there is a notification in privacy to change that, because it might be that people complained that their messages were being read automatically and out in public or something, and they didn't like it or something. It wouldn't surprise me if something like that happened.
And I just got a ding, but it didn't tell me who it was.
I know. I've kind of noticed that, because I do those screen lock too. But before I lock the screen, I have the focus on the messages app, if I'm expecting messages, and then I lock the screen, and it seems like I get messages spoken easier that way than if I have it, say, focused on the email app or the phone app or something like that. I don't know if it makes a difference or not.
Hi, Terry. Mine's the same way. All I do is get a ding, and it doesn't tell me who it is until I go into it.
I'm in the privacy settings of the iPhone just to see if there's anything in there that might be telling if that has some, if it's tied in some way. I don't see anything related to messages. I wonder if Focus has anything to do with that. Does anybody know anything about the Focus? I don't think I've done anything in that section.
I hardly ever go into that. So the only time I think I've gone into that was when I set it up so it would automatically go on Do Not Disturb at certain locations.
I've often wondered what that was actually for. So that's one of them, is turn on your Do Not Disturb, huh?
Yeah, you can set your phone up, and I've got mine set up like when you go to your doctor's office or in specific locations. When you reach that point, it will automatically go on Do Not Disturb, which is kind of handy.
Yep, I didn't see anything that has messages in there. Have you called Apple, Terry, to see if there's any suggestions they have?
That's one thing I will have to say. If you have to call Apple, they've got some of the best tech support I think I've run across.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I've had pretty good luck with them.
Well, I've only had one bad experience with Apple, is when I got this phone and the voice that I downloaded was corrupt, but I did not know that the voice was corrupt, and it was talking some, it was just crazy. It was not acting right. So anyway, the one guy did not want to deal with me, so he basically disconnected the phone. I think it was probably beyond his comprehension. So anyway, the other guy that we did hook up with turned out to just say, well, delete the voice and reinstall it. Or he had me change to a different voice, and it was all good after that. So, oh my gosh, it was a very stressful situation, but it turned out really well. Thank you, Apple.
Yeah, too. You know, maybe I ought to try that. I've been fighting with my phone. Matter of fact, I tried to send my son an hour or so ago. Three times I tried to send him a text message with voice. And all three times, I'd get done, and it would sit there, and all of a sudden it'd make this weird noise. Boom, 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 boom. Then it'd say, sorry, error, try again. And I got so mad at it, I wanted to throw it across the room, but I wonder if maybe I ought to try a different voice, because a lot of times it will be reading a message back to me. It'll cut out and then sit there for a second and it'll start reading it. Like if I'll ask if it has any, do I have any messages? And it'll start reading them and then it'll also cut off. And then all of a sudden it'll start it over again and they'll do okay the second time around. It's crazy.
Have you tried restarting the phone since this has been going on?
No, I've done everything to that phone except for changing the voice. I've called Apple support. Well, we're aware of the problem. I said, yeah, but when are you going to get it fixed? Well, we don't really know that. But they came up with a couple of updates since then.
Well, I know I'll send a message, and it'll give me every indication that it's sent. And then a couple minutes later, it'll say, message failed to send, time sensitive. And so you wait. And sure enough, you know, eventually the person I sent the message to will respond. They did get it, but I don't really know what that problem is.
I've had that problem once in a while, too. I seem to have more trouble sending text messages if the person I'm sending to doesn't have an iPhone. They've got something else. That seems to cause more trouble.
I think that's it for me, too, Parker, this particular person, she has a track phone, and it does only seem to happen when it's with her.
I know I have trouble with my grandson because he doesn't like the iPhone. He's got one of the Google phones, and I have trouble sending messages to him.
Well, I just went into the notifications on my phone. I'm still using 16, but I'm seeing stuff I never saw before. So I'm wondering if I turned on a few things, so maybe that might make a difference. Because mine says announce notifications from, and then it's got a list of apps. So Terry, did you go through that list? He's probably looking.
So I've never been real clear. I don't use it that much. So what is it that when you have it on do not disturb, your phone won't ring, it'll automatically go to voicemail? What other things happen? You won't hear announcements of messages or anything, even though when I've picked my, if I have had it on do not disturb, I mean, voiceover still works. You still, if you touch the screen, it'll say the time or whatever. I was never real clear how much stuff do not disturb actually stops.
I believe that just pertains to the receiving phone calls.
I think text messages as well, no? Or if even Facebook notification, I don't know. I've never used it, so I'm not sure. And yeah, voiceover will still work because that's you interacting with the phone. It's not, it's basically subduing anything coming in. So if you're sleeping or trying to work, you won't hear it ring or a message come in to distract you.
Yeah, I have put it on sometimes at night because Amazon has a way of wanting to tell you about your packages at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't really care.
If it's not showing up at my door at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to know.
2 o'clock in the morning, I'm nowhere around.
Well, now that they deliver here, you're liable to get it anytime, I guess. Before it was always USPS that delivered, but now they have a Amazon place up the road about 10, 15 miles.
Oh, nice. So you probably get your stuff pretty quick then. Well, if they have it there at the warehouse.
Yeah, most of the time we do pretty good. They don't have the food part of it. I kind of wish they'd hurry up and get the food part in there. That'd be kind of neat. Something to compete with Walmart.
Cheryl, I've got a suggestion for you about attendance. Are you on the tech chat list? If so, when you send out your notice for the event, you might send it out to the tech chat list also. That might, you know, bring in more people too.
I am not on that list.
Need I say more? Don't panic, Cheryl. It's a low volume list. It's probably not more than a half dozen messages a week.
Yeah, you could, you know, just add those to your 500 you already got.
Yeah, and it's a really good list too.
Okay, sign me up, Coach.
Okay, you use the same address you've got. I've got for you.
Yes.
Oh, I will put you on it. Your wish is my command.
Oh boy, he's a pusher, Cheryl. You got to watch him.
I was kind of intrigued by that article about them making the seeing AI thing available on the PC.
Me too, if I could get to find it in the App Store. Why don't they put a link on there to take you to it?
Well, it's not going to be in the App Store. You're talking about the Microsoft Store. They said it should be available now.
Yeah, it's in the Microsoft Store, right? I wish they just put a link right to it so you wouldn't have to fool around so much.
I know, the Microsoft Store is a bit of a pain. What app is this? The Seeing AI, you said?
Seeing AI for Windows, yeah.
No, I'm sorry, not Seeing AI, Be My Eyes. Sometimes I get those two mixed up, but Be My Eyes.
That's what I meant to say, too. See what she did to me.
They had an article on the ACB conversation list that actually had the download link. I haven't done it yet, but I was glad they did that.
If you still have it, could you send that to me at terryvipconduit.com?
What I've heard about Be My Eyes, you know how they have the Be My AI in it now, where you take a picture and it'll describe it. I saw something on Facebook, well, I guess it's coming down the pipe at some point, where it's going to be more live interaction with it. The guy's sitting there and he's like pointing his camera, I guess, at a lake. He said, "What's in front of me? It's a lake, a duck swimming across," and blah, blah, blah. And said, "So tell me more about the, you know, because I don't hear him pressing a button. Tell me more about the ducks. They're swimming across lazily. Every so often, one will dip his head into the water." And, you know, it's pretty cool. You can even do it while walking around, I believe.
Yeah, well, Jaws, it does that too. You have the thing where you can ask questions, just type the question, send it, and it'll come back with an answer. That's cool. But yeah, they're really doing good. You hear about the glasses that, well, actually, I think it's Facebook or somebody's got it. Ray-Ban, is that the name of the, those fancy glasses anyway, they got glasses with built-in AI that describes stuff, and they're pretty cool. I think they're like $300, but it's pretty cool.
Now, this is not to do with iPhone, but is that what's going on with the JAWS new update?
Yes, it is. Well, first $300 for glasses that can do that, I think would be worth it. Unlike the $3,500 for the Apple Vision glasses, that's a bit much. And yes, JAWS does do picture smart. Before it would just describe it. Then they started putting the AI so you get a more in-depth definition. And the latest update, at the bottom, it'll say ask more or something. So you could actually ask it questions like you do on Be My Eyes.
Yeah, I've used picture smart quite a lot. Really good feature.
So does that also mean that if you've got a page up that has a picture of a menu, will it actually read that as opposed to never before?
It depends on the picture, but yes, it's the big answer. but sometimes the pictures aren't very clear, so it has trouble seeing everything. Like, it might tell you that it's a menu and it has different areas like appetizers and salads and entrees and stuff, but to actually read the menu to it doesn't always work, although it is getting better all the time.
Yeah, they're doing quite well. Also, I've had it read a picture in an email. If there's an email embedded in the email, or a picture embedded in the email, it'll read it.
Does it solve CAPTCHAs?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Oh, that is a big plus, Mark. I hadn't even thought about that.
That would be awesome. I did hear something about new coming with CAPTCHAs that's supposed to make it easier for us, but I don't remember what and where I heard it, but I think there is something coming. But if you could do that with DAWs or with the Picture Smart, that would be great. Because some of them you do the audio, and some of those are bad, you know, because they're given letters that are not the letters. You can still hear them. It's like, okay, is that a fake one or is that a real one?
Yeah, I like it to where all you have to do is just say, I'm not a robot, and hit the button and go on about your business. I don't want to have to listen to an audio challenge with my hearing. It's not good. I have trouble distinguishing between E's, C's, D's, all those consonants. They just don't, they all sound the same to me. So I have a very difficult time with that. So, yeah, that sounds really good. Now, Hank, did you see on, I think you posted it, too, on Facebook, where this guy, like what you were just saying, Big Ben, going to see is the king in residence, and this AI voice is saying, yes, the king is in residence. The flag showing that he's in residence is up and all this stuff. Now, who is Be My Eyes actually coming out with that?
Just a little footnote to the audio CAPTCHA. I think it's Google privacy thing or security thing. Their CAPTCHA thing now has gotten away from those letters and numbers and things. When you get an audio challenge, they will say part of a phrase, and you have to type it in. And it's a lot clearer than it used to be.
Oh, that's good that it's clearer. Yeah, because I was thinking about that when Cheryl said with her hearing. Yeah, because audio CAPTCHAs, usually they're giving you numbers and letters with a whole bunch of background noise. So that makes it even harder. And yes, the same video, the one with Big Ben and stuff, and at the end of it is the ducks in the pond. And I think that it's coming to Be My Eyes. But I don't know when. The one I saw didn't say anything about when. And somebody said something about the guys wearing glasses, but I didn't hear that in the video unless I missed that part of it. So I don't know if you could just hold your phone up and scan it around, or you got to buy glasses to use it, or either or both. You know, either one will work.
Well, I tell you what, if it'll do, I mean, this guy was hailing a cab, and the AI was going, yes, there's a cab approaching. I'll tell you when to raise your hand to hail it and all this. So I'm going, holy, that would be a game changer. That would be like having a sighted person walking alongside you, telling you everything that's around you. It's like, what a game changer that would be.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. The other thing I wanted to ask you guys is, has anyone had to do an ID verification? I've done a few of these survey sites, you know, where they pay you for doing surveys. And they take you to this site where you have to verify your identity. So you have to take a picture of your ID card, and you have to do a selfie. And I had a very difficult time with that because I'm not very good at focusing the camera. and they kept saying that the image wasn't clear enough. Could a person use one of these other things in conjunction with that somehow to where it tells you exactly, you know, where your camera is positioned and all that?
I'd be awful afraid. I'd make sure it's a legit place, because taking a picture of your ID card, boy, that'd be a perfect way to steal an identity.
Yeah, that would be worrisome, but what you might want to do is get somebody to take a really good picture of you and put it in your photo gallery, and maybe hopefully it'll let you upload the picture. Or does it have to be live? Because if you're taking a selfie, that's a picture. So if you already have one ready to go, that's what I would do.
I did send you that article, Terry.
Yeah, I would do that. The other thing is, if you're not sure about the ID, granted, clarity is not going to be great, but you can maybe take a picture of it with Be My Eyes, Be My AI. What I don't like, but for this situation I do like, is it doesn't like reading things upside down. So, you know, it'll tell you, oh, this is an identification card and blah, 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 but it's upside down. Then you know to turn it around, you know, flip it around, rotate it or flip it, you know, depending on what side it's looking at. And then once you have that, and I do notice it's clearer the closer you get to whatever you want to take a picture of.
Thanks, Chris Hand. If I disappear, that's because my UPS has been popping off and on here. We're getting some storms, so I could lose power, but anyway.
The other thing is, with my Chase app, I can deposit checks, but I haven't figured out a way to do it independently, because you have to write on the back of the check a certain thing and can't do that. And it's frustrating because some of it I can do. I mean, like, you know, you have to type in the amount in the edit box of what the check is, but then you have to take a picture of the back of it in front of it. And of course you have to endorse it. And then you have to write something about Chase deposit or something. So I don't think there's any way a person could do that independently.
Yeah, I've wondered about that too, Mar. I've had my brother do it a couple of times. And yeah, I've wondered about that myself.
And I have no experience with that whatsoever. I don't even have didn't have for my banking thing, but I still use the phone. I'm old school.
Yeah, so do I, Cheryl. My brother did it because he has the app, you know. But wow, I mean, yeah, that the phone, that's the way to go for me.
If wherever you're getting checks from, might be better to try to, you know, do Venmo, Apple Cash, PayPal, any of those, and then you can just transfer it to your bank. I haven't gotten a check in a long time, but I know there's still reasons for it.
Yeah, I write a check to the guy that does my lawn every month.
I don't write well enough to do that.
Well, I've had a check writing guide since I was like since I've been on my own. I think it's the same one that I've had all this time since I was 21. It's been a long time. So, and it still works. I've had to tape it back together, but it still works good.
But I think probably since you were able to see and actually write, it's probably easier, you know, to be able to do that, because you still remember how to write.
Yes, and once in a while I'll get a piece of paper out and just kind of remind that you have those muscles, muscle memory things that just kind of remind myself how to write. So sometimes I have to practice, otherwise it gets a little stiff.
I want my typewriter back.
the good old raised line checks, but I have no room for a typewriter.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Speaking of raised lines, I have checks. I've ordered a large print. I don't think they're going to work anymore because the bank changed. They're extra large checks, maybe twice the size of a regular check. And all the areas have raised the lines on them so you could feel like where the date is, where you put the amounts in, the notes, and the signature.
Why did it have to be double size? Could they not put lines on the regular size check?
I'm not sure. They probably could. I just remember when, I don't know if they offered these just extra large or they did have the smaller ones, but I like the extra room too. I write a little blocky, I guess. When you're writing a big number, it's hard to write, you know, small if you're writing in a 1,278.
I think they also are large print too, so that people can see them better.
Good point, Marg. You're probably right about that.
Yeah. I think that's the reason they're extra large is because they're large print and the raised lines.
I used to have a Braille and Speak, and my husband had programmed it to write checks using a macro, and I had a little printer, and every month we would just fill out the information and print the checks. That was a neat little gadget.
Well, that is, I think that's the first time I heard that you could get checks with raised lines. That would be a great help. I can understand Mark's situation, though, because if you've never seen it at all, you just don't have a perception of what it's like.
I mean, I did learn how to write my name, of course, but I don't do that very good anymore either.
Yeah, I don't know what my signature looks like anymore. I just think it's a bunch of scribbles. I've gotten to where I'm pretty good at doing a straight line, you know, across. I always feel the bottom of the page and feel what direction it's going in. But, yeah, I'm not sure what my signature looks like, if it even looks like my signature anymore.
You know what's really weird is, you know how you get a delivery sometimes, or the guy that does my tech support for Florida, he has me sign his phone. He holds his phone in landscape mode and has me write my name across the screen. That is just weird. And all these, you go to the bank and you have to sign the screen with your finger. It's just really weird.
I am not good at those because I can't feel where I am. So, you know, I can't write a straight line to save my soul.
Well, I don't know many people who can. And even I'm wondering about a lot of sighted people, if they don't have that line, you know, there.
Yeah, and it's not like you can put your signature guide on those screens and at least have something like that to follow from.
If you're using the whole screen, it ain't so bad, you know, because you just sign your name on the screen any which way. But when the screen has a little box where you're supposed to sign in, that gets a little hard.
That box is a pretty good size, so, you know, I guess he taps on something and it brings up this signature box and you can just, you know, as big as you want, sign it, because the whole screen is the box. Well, this has been a very great and informative users group meeting, so I want to appreciate everybody that came in to share their thoughts and ideas with us today. We will meet exactly 2 weeks from today, and I look forward to interacting with everybody again. Thank you all for coming in. It was a great, great day.